G'day and welcome to Oceanic Gaming Radio. This is episode 92. It is the 29th of the 4th, 2024. My name is Captain Pith, and alongside me, as always, my wonderful buddy, my compadre, brother-in-arms, Grizzly Gaming 86. How are you, fella? You got all right, mate?
Good. Hey, quick question. Was I supposed to be able to hear when you were bobbing your head to something? Because I could not hear anything.
Yes, you were, and it looks like I had it on preview, not live, and I will do that in post. Don't even worry about it.
Okay, easy, mate. All over it.
But yeah, what's been going on? Oh, you good?
Cap. Yeah, I'm good, mate. Just been, dude, 2 weeks goes so fucking quick. It's been 2 weeks since speaking to you on this here podcast, Capo, but now things have been good. What have I been doing, mate? I have been gaming quite a lot, actually. I acquired myself a new mouse and keyboard as well. Got some new peripherals after a very long time. I actually went down the SteelSeries route, Cap.
Yeah, dude. I've got a SteelSeries mouse and I swear by it. It's like the perfect like mouse shape for me.
Man, I cannot get over the keyboard difference has made to
all-round
gaming. Yeah, so these... It's quite expensive. This keyboard's about $450 and it's a mechanical keyboard, but it allows you to edit the actuation timing of all of the triggers and buttons. So I've got it. I had it. I was just trying it out just to see how it would feel, and I set it to a 0.1 actuation, and I was playing Dota, and it was like the lightest touch on the key, and it's like you're fucking. I had a quick cast on Dazzle or something, and I was like graving people just with like a tiny little touch on the old on the double W key. So
yeah, that's sick.
I feel like because I've had Logitech. Nothing against Logitech. I think they were great, but my gear was probably about 3 or 4 years old now. So obviously, yeah, bit of technology changes. Gone for a wireless mouse, Cap. Gone for a wireless SteelSeries mouse, and
yep.
It uses 2.4 gig something.
Gigahertz. It's kind of like the same as your Wi-Fi network, basically.
There you go.
Which can cause a bit of havoc depending on how close your router is to your PC. So just be careful.
Okay. I've got my router like right here. But no, so far it's all been pretty good, dude. And the other thing that I've been finding, Cap, as well, dude, my PC has onboard Bluetooth on the motherboard as well. So things like my PlayStation controller, I can just turn it on and it links.
Yeah. Oh, dude, yeah, because that was one of the things when I bought my PC, I was like, it needs to have onboard Bluetooth so I can just have my Xbox controller or PS5 controller, whatever I'm using, just straight to the PC.
So good.
It's the way to go, man. Like, you just there's no fucking around anymore, you know, and you don't waste a USB slot with a little Bluetooth dongle, right? So
the future is upon us, Cap. Definitely.
The future is now, baby. But yeah, so what else have you been up to, mate? What's your weekends been holding in store for you? Like, it's been
a fortnight since last before the stream, but I spent 8 hours in the old tattoo chair. So I'm working on a half sleeve with a third session. I've pretty much only got the highlighting to go, but it's looking real nice. It's got it's kind of like got this nautical theme between the two arms. Got an octopus on one side, and then over the other side I've got like Poseidon and some ocean and a ship and like a deep sea fish and some stuff. So it's come up like really nice. Really happy with it. Bit sore today though. Cap's all a bit red and healy. So
yeah, have you got anything on it, or is it just no?
Nah. So he's told me to basically wait till it starts to dry and then put some balm on it. So do the old dry heal. Is that what you did with yours, or?
Man, I can't even remember what I did with mine. I think I don't know. I think I might have done the old Glad wrap over the top with a bit of tattoo balm underneath. But I suppose something that big, because, I mean, I've never had a piece that big or, you know, with that much shading, right? So I wouldn't even know. Most of my stuff's just been line work, so.
Yeah, so he wrapped it up with balm on it, and you have that on. He said to have it on for a first hour, and then I actually took it off and showered and then let it dry.
Man, that's wild.
Nothing on it until it starts to dry and peel, and then you put like a balm on it basically to try to protect it as much as you can.
Yeah.
I think the whole tattoo will peel eventually, and some of the ink will come out with that initial peel. So the idea is that when it starts to peel, that's when you want to like kind of look after it.
That's game
I don't
time.
Know, man. But, you know, everyone's different. Like, when I was in Bali, the guys over there told me completely different about aftercare instructions, and it feels like something that's constantly changing. I feel like dry healing's only something that's been done in the last couple of years. Otherwise,
yeah, I was going to say, I don't think I've ever really done it before, hey. But, I mean, look, realistically, you know, a tattoo artist is their work. So if it was going to fuck your tattoo up, they wouldn't ask you to do it, right?
That's it, man. As long as it doesn't get infected or anything. But
yeah.
So I'm off to Manjimup this weekend, Capo, with the,
playing a gig?
The band. Yeah, playing a gig. Little venue there called Gatsby Skyline. And it's kind of like, it's so random, dude. It's like a cabaret lounge in the country.
You've played there before, haven't you?
Yeah.
Didn't you do the Metallica thing there?
Yep. Yeah, we did. Yeah. So, yeah. Well, we've played some Metallica there and had some footage and just there with the Renegades of Rock. So we're back there for a 40th birthday on Friday night. So it should be good. Pretty good fun, mate.
Renegading yet again. Love it.
Renegading. Yep. Now, what about you, Cap? What's been on your agenda, mate? What have you been up to?
Not an awful lot, man. Just trying to think what we have. So in the last 2 weeks since, because obviously we're fortnightly now, if you didn't know that, then you've probably missed a couple episodes and welcome, but bad news, we're down to fortnightly episodes. But good news for us, we've got way more time to spend on the content and everything else. And I feel like, you know, it's been good. Anyways, over the last fortnight, I went and saw Dune 2 with Mia in Gold Class, and it was fucking amazing,
dude. Gold Class as well,
yeah,
mate.
Yeah, we had a Ted-free day, so we just we went and, you know, had a bunch of food there and watched Timothy Chalamet do his thing on the big screen. But yeah, it was a really good movie, man. Have you seen the first one, Grizz?
I have, and I absolutely loved it. And I remember being really sad that the second one wasn't out, so you couldn't continue the story.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, yeah. You'll be able to, mate. And it's like more of the same stuff, just really well done sci-fi.
Wasn't there a game coming, Cap, that we put out Hat in the Ring for early access?
Yeah, Dune Awakening or something like that. And it's kind of like a... Age of Conan?
That's right.
Exiles kind of style game. I think it's by Funcom who did that Conan survival game. So looks really good. They released a trailer about maybe a month ago or so, just showing off a bit of gameplay and bits and pieces, and it looks real nice. So, but yeah. So, anyways, we saw Dune 2. Nice. What else have we done? Been to the zoo a few times with Ted just because we've got a zoo pass, so we go into that fairly regularly.
Yeah.
And then other than that, just been kind of just working, really, just busy. We're looking for some more team members at the moment, so been working on
hiring, mate. Okay. So reach out to Captain Perth if you want a job, Cap, or what?
Yeah, exactly right. And I'll say, sorry, but we've closed our applications, which we have.
You don't want Caging Runt knocking on your door, mate. No way.
No way. I don't want to hold his hand with the onboarding process. But yeah, so just been doing flat out, really, but it's been really good. So we actually just booked a trip to Bali middle of August or something. Mm-hmm. We're like, what do we want to do? Because we're kind of tossing up, maybe we go to Japan or maybe we'll go to like do something a little bit different. And I was like, yeah, kind of just feel like sitting by a pool for like 5 days.
Yep.
So
Ted's
we'll
first
just like
international venture, Cap, as well.
Well, Ted isn't coming, baby.
Oh, dude.
So I've booked it in with the parents. They're going to grandparents are going to be playing the hot potato with Ted.
You guys deserve it. You've worked bloody hard, you know.
Mia, yeah, I think so too.
Back into work and yourself, you deserve a little holiday.
Yeah, so we're quite looking forward to it. Literally, we just found this like wicked package that was like it's in Nusa Dua or whatever they call it. And it's just a resort with a sick pool. It's got a swim up bar, which is all I wanted. You know, they've got 3 hour free playing top cocktails.
Mate? Are you going all inclusive or are you?
It's pretty much all inclusive if you want to just stay on site. You can literally not leave. We're going to probably go. We'll go and do some shopping and fuck around here and there. But for the most part, I was like, I want to actually push myself to just relax because I feel like the last like 4 months I've just been run off my feet with work and just family life. So I think just you know what, Cap? Just fucking chill out, all right?
Just relax,
so that's
mate,
the plan.
Know?
Yeah, we wanted to kind of go all inclusive to promote us to stay at the hotel because there's three different restaurants on this particular resort. And the idea was that, you know, you get breakfast every morning and then you have a choice of any of those restaurants for lunch and dinner each day if you'd like. So,
see, I really like the idea of all-inclusive. We haven't done one yet. We were in Bali September last year, Captain, had an absolute ball, took our kids and had a holiday, took the parents over. But, yeah, no, I think the idea of an all-inclusive is great because then you can just kind of, you know, drink as many beers as you want.
Well, that's the thing. Anyway. But it's virtually all-inclusive. I think the only thing is the drinking, there's like a three-hour window of all you can drink, which is fine because, like, you know, it's pretty cheap in Bali anyway, so I'm not too fussed. But, you know, it's pretty much all-inclusive. So that's going to be good. It's going to be really good. But, yeah, just trying to think what else we had on the trot. But that's about it really, mate.
Gaming, Kat, that we can talk about a bit later, mate? A bit of gaming?
There's a bit of gaming that happened. Yeah, definitely a bit of gaming. We and also some TV gaming stuff as well.
TV gaming.
I finished the Fallout series, and I can't even remember. Did I talk about that last time? I don't think
we
I did.
We discussed it very briefly, I think, but not in depth. No.
Yeah, God, that is a
is
oh
it
man.
Good? Okay,
it is phenomenal. It's very surprisingly good. So yeah, plenty of shit happened, but yeah. Yeah, so plenty
I'm
of gaming, a bit of gaming, bit of everything.
Whether you have, and I will get there when the how's your gaming going, but whether you've come across a crab Souls-like.
I haven't played it. I actually, yes, but I have. Okay, I have. Okay. Yeah, we can get into it. It's on yours?
I have it ready to go. I haven't played it, but it is it's going to be played very soon. Yep.
Yeah, all right, we're going to have a bit of a chat about that. But look, let's dive straight in. Firstly, Grizz, bit of house rules as always. Just want to say a big thank you to our wonderful listeners. Again, we've had another really good fortnight of just people listening. So appreciate you guys immensely. If you're listening, you know, to the podcast, not live, then we just really appreciate it if you could drop a bit of a review somewhere. Has to be 5 stars, though. Sorry. Like, it's just how it is. So, yeah, would appreciate that immensely. Helps us out a lot and just gets the ball rolling a little bit, you know, so we can just do some more cool shit. Now, for those listening live, firstly, welcome. You guys are legends. If you want to join the legends such as Caging Runt and Airy J, you can do so by going to Oceanic Gaming Radio on Twitch. Now, it's twitch.tv/Oceanic Gaming Radio. All you got to do is follow us there and then log in on Monday nights, 7 p.m. Australian Western Standard Time. We'll be live. So pretty exciting. Now, another big thank you to our wonderful Patreon subscribers. You guys freaking rock. We've just started using a new platform for recording this podcast, and I actually think, and we got confirmation from Mikey, Tim's brother,
shout out to Mikey,
of
legend,
the fact that this is the best the podcast has sounded in a long time. So I think it's been a good investment, but it's an investment nonetheless. So thank you guys immensely for helping us keep the lights on here. Now, if you'd like to join them, you can go to patreon.com/OGRshow. Those legends are I'm Asukai, Moosey, Caging Runt, Lee GD, J Libs, Brendan, Strops, and Slatos. Cheers. You guys rock.
Legends.
You guys are just.
We're always looking for new Patreons, too. I'll give you a digital high five if you come into chat and you're a new Patreon. That's the deal.
Yep. He will do it. He won't hold back.
Exactly right.
So there you go. Now, freaking, let's jump in, Chris. Bit of quest logging today. Got about 6 major stories sitting here we can get to, you know, really sink our teeth into. It's going to be great. Now, the first big one, Grizz, Embracer Group. They have unembraced themselves into three smaller, bite-sized Embracer Groups. Mm-hmm. So what the fuck am I talking about? Now, look, you may remember Embracer. They have been very rapidly snapping up just about any development studio that they possibly could. They snaffled up. Who did they snaffle up? Now they grabbed.
Oh, dude, they've got so many. They've got Gearbox. They've got THQ Nordic, which is Remnant and Trine. They've got Gearbox's Borderlands. They've got Saber Interactive.
Now, I don't think they have Borderlands anymore as recently.
Very true.
Which was, I think, sold off to 2K Games, but that's going to be part of the story. But yeah, basically they got a shitload of people. THQ Nordic, Coffee Stain, who did Valheim, Tripwire Games, Warhorse Studio, who did, what's that freaking game that's just come out called Kingdom Come Deliverance.
What else? A bunch of board Eidos, games as well, Cap,
bunch of
I
board
believe.
Games. They've got a shitload Tabletops. Of freaking like development studios under their belt. Now, about, I think it was last year, they were kind of continuing, buying, and they had this massive deal on the line that involved like a Saudi-backed, like, you know, investment firm or something, and it was like $1 billion, you know, deal or some shit. I can't remember exactly what the deal was to do with. I think it was something to do with their Lord of the Rings IPs that they had the rights to.
Yeah.
Anyways, that fell through. So, you know, a couple of $1 billion potential deal there just gone, which resulted in a shitload of layoffs. And, you know, we've seen the fallout of that in terms of, you know, staff counts being reduced dramatically. They've divested some of their, you know, some of their companies that they had under their wing, including they sold off Gearbox, I believe. So they divested Gearbox Entertainment to, I think, 2K Games from memory for $460 million US dollars. Now, that was – when was this? This was recently, I'm pretty sure. This was the 28th of March, so it wasn't all that long ago, about a month ago. And, yes, it was sold to Take-Two Interactive, which I believe were the publishers for – Borderlands. So kind of, you know, it's kind of gone full circle. But yeah, anyway, so basically after they divested Gearbox, we found out that they were announcing that they were splitting up the company into three quite sizable chunks. So what they've done, announced by their CEO, Lars fucking something or other, they've split into the following groups. Asmodee, which is a – they're coining as a global leader in tabletop games and publishing and distribution.
So they've got things like that I didn't know, Cap. It's Arkham Horror, Catan, Exploding Cats. Yeah, and many other –
I didn't know that.
Yeah, titles underneath that that banner. I was just having a quick look on the Asmodee website is already operational and lists a bunch of the games that sit under that banner.
I imagine that those IPs would be fairly lucrative still, you know, like Catan's like such a well-known kind of, you know, what resources kind of, you know, conquest game. But then even Arkham Horror, you know, be interested to see if they do much.
Was Arkham Horror the one you had, Cap, in the big cases?
Yeah.
The big box full of expansions and DLCs and stuff in there?
Yeah, it was just a insanely huge, cumbersome board game that I was never going to learn and had very high, lofty hopes of doing so. But, you know, I divested that to a friend because it was not going to be I was just never going to play it. Literally, it was never going to happen. Now, so that's the first part of this three-part publicly listed entities that they split into. The next one's called Coffee Stain and Friends. Now, yes, the naming's a bit funky, but Coffee Stain and Friends is composed of Coffee Stain, one of the development studios, Ghost Ship, Tarsia, Tuxedo Labs, THQ Nordic, Amplifier Game Invest, and they have the following IPs, Grizz. They have Deep Rock Galactic, Goat Simulator, Satisfactory, Wreckfest, Teardown, Valheim, as well as more than 200 other IPs.
Cap, I think THQ Nordic owns Remnant 2 and the Trine series as well. I wonder whether they're still in there. This kind of strikes to me as Coffee Stain and Friends, almost like a bit more of an indie games, Cap.
That's kind of what they've coined this side of the business as. I think it's kind of like these maybe smaller projects, maybe a little bit not quite AAA, but you know, yeah, I guess like the AAA kind of area of stuff. You know, that sort of indie to AAA kind of realm. But the thing that they have noted is they've also got intellectual properties for Sudoku.com. They've also got jigsaw puzzles, and they've also got key published free-to-play games based on licensed IPs, which include Star Trek Online and D&D Neverwinter Online. So it's kind of like the, it's, I guess it's kind of like the bits and bobs kind of part of the, you know, it's not quite board games, and then we're going to get to the other one in a shortly, but it's not quite the other one either, and it's going to become quite apparent when we go through that one. But yeah, it's kind of like everything, but everything that's not these other two companies. So there's that one. Now, the other one they've got is called Middle Earth Enterprises and Friends, which includes Crystal Dynamics. Now, Crystal Dynamics are a big one. We'll go through that in a second, but there's also Eidos Montreal. They've got Tripwire, Flying Hog Studios, Dambuster Studios, Tripwire, Vertigo Studios, and Warhorse Studios. So what IPs are those? They are Dead Island, Killing Floor, Kingdom Come Deliverance, The Lord of the Rings, just, you know, the fucking Lord of the Rings, Metro, Tomb Raider, and many others. So there's a lot of stuff going on. And also, it says here Dark Horse is included within this group of businesses. Now, Dark Horse, I wonder if they mean Dark Horse Comics, which would be interesting.
Yeah, because they have... there are comics under Embracer Group, isn't there, Cap? They have released.
Yeah, I think so. Comics, so it would make a lot of sense. Mm. Yeah. So, yeah, basically that's kind of like their AAA, I guess, next tier up project size, I would think. You know, you think about all those like Dead Islands and Killing Floors and Kingdom Come Deliverance, big sprawling RPGs or adjacent, not your little indie kind of games or AAA kind of games. So, yeah, quite a significant kind of split. I think the big standout here, Grizz, is the naming of all these different studios so far. I think these are, according to what they've noted, is the names are a work in progress, and they'll kind of iron those out in the future. But yeah, Coffee Stain and Friends and Middle Earth Enterprises and Friends, not the greatest names for a company of all time. But anyways, regardless, what do you think, Grizz? Like, this is an interesting change, right?
A couple of things here, Cap. Just want to reiterate kind of the goals of the changes of kind of the announcements we saw here. So, the idea is that, and this is a worrying statement for me, Cap, we have talked about the influence of shareholders before, but essentially this change comes to help drive shareholder value. And they've kind of said here that shareholders can freely now, with this new structure, decide where their capital is allocated between the three groups and the projects under those groups. They're going to be given more freedom to invest money where they feel like money needs to be invested, and see the returns from that. So seems to be quite a focus on driving shareholder value. And just some of the stats on the impacts that I was able to find for the company itself. So we saw 1,400 industry layoffs, 7 studio closures, 30 games cancelled, and then a bunch of divested studios that have been sold off. Some of those include some of my favourite IPs, like Risk of Rain was one of those, the Tiny Tina's Wonderland franchise and that kind of bit of Borderlands as well, Duke Nukem and others too. So I don't know. This is an interesting one, Cap. I do have some concerns. I think the clear statement that this piece here, this transformation is important in unlocking shareholder value. I can't help but think the issues that we're seeing more broadly across AAA and Diablo franchise, Blizzard and everything else, and people struggling and having that real pressure come down from shareholders and wanting to drive better economic solutions from these companies. I do fear that that has an impact on the quality of the games that we see, and I do kind of feel like this pressure is going to be felt for the Embracer games. The Embracer IPs, so I don't know, bit of a watch this space, but I think there definitely is some negatives, and there's obviously quite a bit that's fallen through the cracks here that haven't been able to be captured in those three companies, Cap, that have just been, you know, people lost their jobs and other things. So what are your thoughts, mate?
I think, I mean, as soon as this came out, basically, Embracer and their CEO, Lars Wings for Force, or whatever the fuck his name is, basically copped a load of shit because, you know, the most recent kind of stories from Embracer have been, you know, pretty brutal, you know, just kind of all around mass layoffs and, you know, again, divulging assets in response to economic turmoil. You know, some people pointing out that their approach to purchasing other studios and I guess other assets has been pretty reckless, or at least from the outside looking inwards. So, you know, obviously caught a lot of flack, and interestingly, Lars kind of came out afterwards and said, you know, yeah, you guys are right. Like, we deserve to cop a lot of flack. It's been a pretty rough year, and kind of went into, you know, fairly CEO fucking response for the most part, and was fairly measured in how they answered a lot of stuff. But I still thought it was reasonably self-aware for a person that gets a massive fucking bonus every year. Because, you know, we've seen plenty of those that aren't self-aware. But regardless, still not giving him a pat on the back. Just thought it was interesting that there was some degree of self-awareness there. But look, looking into this as a third party, yes, Embracer, it seems to be struggling a little bit, and I think the whole idea of splitting that company into separate entities for me makes a lot of sense, because they have ballooned and they've bought a lot of random shit in different pockets, and I think if you are a large organization, it makes sense to pool your assets into similar baskets so that you can probably just monitor them a little bit better financially, performance and everything else wise, right? So
I remember you were talking about when they were acquiring Here, There and Everywhere. It was like, holy shit, when is this going to stop? Like, there was just, it was like studio after studio there for a British Embracer Group kind of taking it by storm. So
yeah, I mean, to the point where, like, you know, in the last year, like, what I understand is the sentiment from a lot of developers and whatnot has been kind of Embracer Group almost being like the what do you call it, the Grim Reaper basically popping That's up on right. your doorstep, yeah. wanting to buy you, you know. So but look, I think ultimately, like, I think this makes a lot of sense for them. I mean, yeah, Embracer have been performing like shit recently, and is it reckless? Maybe. I also wonder, like, you don't know exactly what the kind of financial conditions were, and the fact that they lost this massive $2 billion deal, you know, has obviously heavily affected them, but they must have seemed to at some point think that that was pretty much in the bag. I think ultimately this makes a lot of sense for them, and I think it'll probably hopefully enable them to be a little bit more consistent and I don't know, just spend more time working on what they've got and kind of going from there. So
it seems to be, kind of working through it with you and talking through the three IPs, I think they have done a good job, I feel like, at grouping what they had into buckets like they have. And I think that is going to make it easier for shareholders to see value for their money when it's set out like that. Just on an interesting note, Cap, so with the selling of Gearbox and other bits and pieces, they were able to significantly reduce their net debt that they're currently in, something like, I don't know what this equates, but 3.2 billion SEK. What's SEK, Cap?
I think it's like Swedish something or other, maybe krones or something like that. I'll tell you what it is. SEK currency.
Proceeds for the deal upon closing significantly reduced the debt, earnout obligations and capex for the company. So you can imagine that this will take a lot of weight off them to perform. And I imagine that I know that it's, you know, they've had layoffs on the bits and pieces, but allow them to operate probably a little bit more effectively. Curious to know, Cap, your thoughts as us as a consumer for these IPs. Do you think there'll be any impacts from those IPs that we love, the ongoing ones like, what do we see here, Remnant or whatever else? Do you think they will be impacted by these kind of changes?
Well, look, I would imagine that they will be trying to leverage the IPs of existing properties that they've got currently. I think they would be on the hunt to get rid of shit as needed ASAP. And, I mean, we've already seen that with, you know, the fact they got rid of Borderlands is kind of crazy to me, because you would think that Borderlands is a pretty big IP, something that they could make work fairly easily. But obviously they decided that wasn't the case. So I think I would be worried if I was one of these companies, firstly, because I feel like they're going to have to really perform to to prove themselves within the Embracer group. Otherwise, they're going to get sold off. And hey, I mean, realistically, maybe it might be nice to get sold off out of this fucking shitstorm. But,
dude, I wonder whether they'll try to do more eventually with the Lord of the Rings stuff. Like, so, you know those PS2, PS3 games, the old Lord of the Rings ones that were wicked? They were like hack and slash Diablo likes.
Yeah, kind of go around. I remember the Two Towers one was like an absolute cracker
dude,
game.
They were fucking great games. They were co-op as well. Same screen co-op. Yeah. Pretty good games.
Yeah, I could see those. I mean, there was also, you know, the Shadow of Mordor games and Shadow of War. Those were really well received. I don't know whether they own those IPs, but I imagine they probably do if it's like all Lord of the Rings. Mm. But, I mean, man, we had Gollum come out recently and that did terribly. That so, I don't know.
I don't think that was from a lack of story. I mean, people were hyped up to have a game through the eyes of Gollum. I think it could have been fantastic, but it was just, it was like it was made in the 90s, man. It was bad.
Just another classic example of just poorly executed AAA kind of style project management and game development. So I don't know. We're going to have a bit more of a chat about sort of games as a service, but I think the big issue we've got at the moment is just AAA games are really struggling because of this kind of like critical mass of team size and overall cost and overheads. And they're just really struggling to execute and, you know, produce a really good product. And again, we've talked about it plenty of times recently in the last few episodes, but, you know, indies are kind of the opposite where they can kind of keep their resources fairly low and execute reasonably well as well. But
Cap, the big one here, mate, they haven't got shareholders. Most of the indies don't have shareholders that are sitting there going, breathing down the neck, making sure their investment is a payout, which, you know, Embracer, obviously, from all these posts, a lot of it has to do with, you know, raising shareholder value and getting themselves out of debt, everything else.
Which is a fairly classic kind of thing for any company that rakes in a shitload of money, because they probably do so with some kind of shareholder investment. It's going to be very interesting to see what this split kind of, what effect that has on these studios and the IPs that are coming out. We're going to talk about it shortly, but, you know, Warhorse Studios have just announced that Kingdom Come Deliverance 2 was coming out, which I never saw that coming. I don't know if it's been announced before that, but that was
got leaked,
kind of
didn't it?
Crazy.
Did it get leaked?
Maybe. Don't know. Not that I can remember, but it definitely threw me off when I saw the trailer drop the other day. Again, it's going to be very interesting. I mean, Embracer have been, their narrative recently has been that their restructure is kind of over as of a month ago when they sold off Gearbox. I think maybe that was hopefully some kind of sign of stability, but you never really know until you get along the way, and you don't know what kind of projects they've got in the pipeline, how far away are those projects? Like it's going to be an interesting next couple of years for Embracer and their assets, I guess. What do you think overall, mate? Like, do you think this will have a major effect? I mean,
I don't know. I don't mind the way that they've laid out their IPs. It's sad. I think they probably, I don't know, I haven't looked into the detail too much. I hope there's no of my little IPs that I enjoy that were smaller indie ones that haven't been wrapped up as part of that Coffee Stain and Friends group, which there potentially is. There are a couple of bangers in there, like the Trine series and other things, but I don't know, mate. I think it's always good when you refocus and you've got a goal. I feel like that this seems more manageable than just buying everything under the sun and seeing what sticks. Because you're still going to have some failures in that model as well. So it could be good. It could be bad. I guess we'll wait and see what comes out in the wash, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Grizz, talking about what comes out in the wash, it seems that BlizzCon have... Blizzard have washed their hands of BlizzCon for another year, 2024. There will not be a BlizzCon this year,
this is pretty surprising to me, Capo. And their announcement kind of said that, you know, it's not the end of BlizzCons. They said that we will bring it back in future years. They didn't say we're bringing it back in 2025 or anything like that. But to me, Cap, this year is a big one for Blizzard, I thought, because we've got the 30th anniversary of WoW. We've got a DLC dropping for Diablo 4 later in the year. We've got Blizzard trying their best to push competitive Overwatch 2 and Hearthstone still ticking along. I would have thought that with those things, mainly the 30th year anniversary of WoW, that an in-person BlizzCon event could have been quite successful with that marketing and other bits and pieces. But I also kind of think at the back of my mind, Cap, that, you know, being recently acquired by Microsoft, is there something else we're not seeing as part of this picture? Are they getting a little bit more pressure from the big fellas to tighten those costs a little bit, pulling those drawstrings?
It's hard to know, but you know, there's been kind of some rumors floating out around, you know, this decision and you know, where did it originate from, and you know, it's all hearsay, but there was some industry insiders at Blizzard that kind of surfaced through certain channels that suggested that Microsoft didn't have much, if anything, to do with this particular decision of skipping BlizzCon this year. But look, realistically, like, I'm sure that Microsoft have probably set a framework and financial guidelines for BlizzCon to be following, so that they can ensure that, you know, their investment of, what was it, $69 billion or whatever, is actually, you know, an investment of worth. So I'm sure that they're trying to get them to swim in between the flags for the most part. And I would imagine that BlizzCon Blizzard have kind of just looked at BlizzCon, looked at the cost of that event for them, regardless of the fact that they probably just streamed the entire thing. But, you know, there's more information that came out as well, that saying that some of the developers and you know, in a circle of Blizzard were saying that they never made any money off BlizzCon. So, you know, in a time where AAAs are really hurting, and a time when, you know, a lot of AAA projects are mostly failing, you know, is spending money on something you know you're going to lose money on really a good idea? Probably fucking not.
It's a fine line, Cap, isn't it? Because there's also another link that I put in the run sheet, Cap, about there's a guy from a WoW dev team saying, put a Twitter post out saying that Blizzard does not turn a profit. In fact, we lost money on it nearly every year, talking about World of Warcraft specifically, and how, yeah, BlizzCon doesn't bring in any money. But then also I kind of wonder, Cap, that what do you need to keep the WoW franchise going? Is it events and celebrating the 30th year anniversary of the game? Is it like, is that going to help keep that game alive? You know, I kind of feel like, yeah. I don't know, and you've got a story that is, once again, you've done a great job at piece and give this run sheet, but we're talking about games as a service, and are they standing up, you know, to current games? Are people kind of getting sick of them and drifting on to others? And WoW kind of springs to my head immediately. I mean, we've had that 30 years, mate, 30 years, and they're still trying to hang on to the same player base and bring people back in through DLCs. Surely not having a BlizzCon on its 30th anniversary year for WoW is almost shooting yourself in the foot a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah, well, look, you definitely think so. I think realistically, you think about what keeps people playing games like WoW and what makes a good game as a service. And realistically, despite being an MMO, I mean, we're going to coin it an MMO, you think about what a game as a service is, and it's, you know, it's a persistent game with probably some degree of community, right? And I think WoW fits in that mold. So realistically, it's a game as a service. I mean, you pay for it as a service. So, you know, the big thing for me is, like, if there's no really good community or really interesting reason to come back to that game, then no longer are people going to want to buy that service ongoing. So I think, you know, despite the fact that we've lost BlizzCon this year, BlizzCon for a lot of Blizzard gamers is kind of like, it's like a bit of a carrot, I feel like, every year. It's kind of like, oh, yeah, you know, the like my BlizzCon's coming, so I'm gonna get an idea of, you know, the next major WoW patch or whatever else it is. And so
didn't they have certain Blizzard tournaments as well, Cap, like Overwatch 2, and they had like WoW PvP and a bunch of other stuff, like as part of BlizzCon as well?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, like, you know, they kind of have that kind of thing most years. You know, they'll have like some degree of that, if not more. I think, you know, even you know, normally they do bundles of things, you know, like where, you know, one year they had the Blizzard Polar Bear, which was a rare mount that you can't really get anymore without a code. But those codes were selling for a shitload of money. So, you know, there's like exclusive swag that they normally put out. Just things, again, it comes down to this kind of like exclusivity and interest and, you know, a bit of hype building up around the game. And I think those are all really important and healthy things to have for a game that thrives on community and requires, I think, a little bit of that ignition to keep the fires lit and the servers on, right? So
You're onto it there, mate.
Yeah,
there's a little bit that sits outside of your normal releases that kind of stoke the fire a little bit to keep those kind of going, isn't it?
Yeah. So I'm sure that Blizzard are very aware of that fact. I don't think, you know, I'm coming up with any brand new idea that they're not already aware of. So my thoughts here are that they've obviously made the call that it's not worth it this year because, A, they probably don't have enough to show and get the most out of a BlizzCon and get the hype going. And also on top of that, it's obviously probably going to be expensive for them to show off what they have in the works. And then I guess, you know, it was mentioned earlier in the chat, I think by Caging, just generally that, you know, Blizzard have had some pretty shit press at BlizzCon over the last few years, right? Every time they've had a BlizzCon, there's been a massive fucking controversy. So for a company that kind of is just continuously encountering massive controversies, I don't know if they want to open themselves up to another massive controversy again. And it probably would happen depending on what they released, right, or what they showed off. And I can only imagine, you know, the very poor attempt that they might have to get the Overwatch fans interested with some kind of meager morsel of potential release. And then that probably almost certainly generate a few spicy news articles that would just kind of get people kind of going, well, what the hell's Blizzard doing these days, you know? So I think there's a few things.
My reflections are very similar to yours, Cap, on this. You know, I'm thinking about the IPs as a whole, right? You know, if you look at the BlizzCons and we had the classic, have you got phones yet? We're waiting for Diablo 4. Everyone, have you got a phone? That was the Diablo Immortal BlizzCon when everyone was expecting news on Diablo 4. And then looking at currently, how's Overwatch doing right now? Overwatch 2. I literally don't hear anything about it. The pro scene, nothing. I don't hear anything about Overwatch 2. It's quite as. Diablo 4, I would love to see what the stats are for people buying the battle pass and the cosmetics cap in the store and other bits and pieces. And I guess ultimately what this comes down to is this the start of a bit of writing on the wall here? Is it the start of us seeing, I don't know, potentially of tightening the purse strings a little bit as maybe things aren't going particularly as planned for the likes of some of their titles like Overwatch 2 mainly and Diablo 4 from a, you know, corporate money kind of sense?
Yeah, yeah. It's that's the thing, Grizz. Is like, you know, and I'm going to draw on, I guess, what Cajun Runt's kind of said in the chat. You know, firstly, it's kind of wild that they're not. You know, Cajun Runt said it's astonishing that Blizzard is unable to drive hype at their own con. But I think realistically, the reason that's happened is they've just lost control of everything. And it comes down to being beholden to shareholders, I personally think, and having to drive games into uncharted waters in terms of monetization and I guess just fucking poor design and development practices that has just been turning off their customer base. But then on top of that, I think, you know, and Caging Runt said they've had nothing in the pipeline for a while or no new IP in Yonks. Now, they did have something in the pipeline and that was some kind of weird survival game that they've since cancelled. So obviously whatever they've had in the pipeline, they've not liked and, they you know, they've announced since, you know, cancelled. But, yeah.
They also had that PvE experience they were promised to build into Overwatch 2, which I believe most of those people were laid off when Microsoft acquired Blizzard and they no longer work there. But yeah, it's interesting, Cap. It's interesting. I just, you know, I feel like for Diablo 4, for me, was the turning point of I still had heaps of faith, and I watched development directs and how they were developing that game. It looked fantastic. Love the classes, but when it came down to it, it was just hidden, full of ways to try to make money and waste people's time. And yeah. not, I don't know, I've kind of just, I have lost the faith, Capo. I think the only time I would think about going back is maybe, like Kajik said, into WoW Classic, just for a bit of nostalgia factor some yeah. point down the track. But yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm probably the same, maybe depending on, you know, initial kind of previews and sentiment towards the next WoW expansion, I might get into that. But for the most part, like, I mean, even just my personal time at the moment, I don't really have a real draw to want to play many kind of multiplayer experiences, just because I don't really have the time. Or
what do you reckon the next remake remaster for a Blizzard title is, Cap? Is it going to be one of the StarCrafts? Is it going to be Diablo 1?
Dude, do you know what I'd love to see? Lost Vikings.
Oh, yeah, we've discussed that. I don't know, dude. Do you reckon they'll pull something that far out? Like, sure, I reckon there's people that don't even know that's a Blizzard
I'd love
game.
To see it. But I feel like they've already done it with, you know, they had a dungeon that had those three the main characters in it. Rock and Roll Racing is a great one, Caging Nice. Brilliant SNES game. Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know what to expect from Blizzard again in the next 2 years. You know, I feel like they're on a really weird turning point at the moment. And I honestly reckon Microsoft is probably looking at this purchase of AKB and going, fuck me, what the fuck have we bought? Like, you know, because I would be like,
surely they know what they got themselves into. Surely they could look at the writing on the wall. I don't know.
I mean, Jesus Christ, look what Embracer has gone and done and since gone, fucking hell, put the brakes on.
Yep.
You know, I think there's a few economic conditions that maybe some people and groups just seem to have been completely blindsided by. And I think there's also, I was thinking about this the other day, Grizz, is even when it comes to Embracer and also when it comes to like Microsoft, you know, people are often very critical about how people spend money and how much people invest into things. But a lot of the time, I think what happens is there's a certain degree of inertia for these massive purchases and acquisitions and whatnot, where it kind of snowballs, and then those companies can't slow down that snowball because once the process has begun, sometimes they actually can't get out of it. You know, there's certain things that they sign, and you know, I remember from memory, I think it was like, if Microsoft couldn't follow through with the purchase of Blizzard for any reason, they would have owed Blizzard like X amount of millions of dollars, like, which is just fucking insane. Yeah, it's almost in their best interest just to fucking finish the deal at that stage. So there's a lot of factors here financially that we just don't, you know, because we're just consumers, right? We don't see the entire picture.
I'm not going to pretend to understand it. I'm sure there is a lot of that kind of stuff that goes on. Hey, just an interesting one there that is discussed in chat, Cap. If they have got money issues and bits and pieces, how long do you think it'll take, and do you think it will happen? Do you think we'll see WoW on Game Pass, subscription included?
Yeah, look, I don't know. I think if we do, it'll be they put it onto the Game Pass Ultimate side of Game Pass. I don't think it'll be in standard Game Pass. But I think, again, Caging has touched on it in here. The thing I kind of want to see from Blizzard is getting WoW onto consoles, which, you know, there's plenty of reasonable reasonable controller mods and whatnot that would enable that. But I still think the game itself is such a pig of a game, and I don't know how well it translates.
Cap?
Yeah, hit me.
I reckon Season of Discovery was a test for giving WoW to console gamers, just in terms of you have less skills. I think you have like 6 skills or something per player that you can pick up, and you go and play the game with that. I wonder whether
they had that. They recently had that freaking Battle Royale thing that came out for WoW, which is literally like a 2-button game, really, at that stage. You just go and find shit in the
what
world.
What was that?
It was like a limited time event. Don't know if it's still going, but that had apparently pretty good reviews. Like, people were quite enjoying that. So you're probably right. They're probably kind of getting a gauge on like the retainment and, you know, that kind of thing. But yeah, it's gone, man. It's a fucking Blizzard. Who fucking knows, Grizz? Who knows what those guys do? But yeah, look, I mean, it's, you know, God, again, I feel like we talk about how fucked Blizzard is like most episodes, but my, how the mighty have fallen, my friend. They're a real fucking husk these days.
Yeah, we've given up on slandering the Switch, Cap. And we're we slander Blizzard instead.
No, I don't know. I'm still on the slander the Switch boat. Now, Grizz, I guess in amongst all this, like, you know, because again, WoW is kind of a live service game. There was a story that came out recently where, and now, fuck man, it's kind of wild. I don't know where they've drawn these statistics from, but there was a survey from the. What is this? The Game Developer Collective, which I don't even know what the hell that is. It's a monthly survey or something like that. Anyways, it's a big database of things. One of the questions they asked was, I guess, just how you feel about the sustainability of live service games. And 70% of developers have concerns about the sustainability of current live service business models due to their thoughts on, you know, the likelihood of players losing interest in those games, competition from other live service games, rising user acquisition costs, rising development costs, competition from other entertainment, loss of interest from investors, et cetera. Like, it's just kind of wild. And I think, again, I think there's been such a huge pivot from, you know, big AAA companies to move into live service games. And I still remember when, you know, Sony had like 12 or 20 freaking live service games in development. Yep. They've since scaled that back a shitload. But it felt like it, for the most part, for a while there, it was literally just throwing shit at a wall and seeing what would stick, and eventually something would stick. But yeah.
Do you think, I feel this is, I don't know how true this is, Cap, but I'm just thinking about this logically in my head. I feel like media in general in the last 10 years has changed quite a lot in the way that people interact with media, even down to, you know, the rise of TikTok and shorts and other bits and pieces, very short attention span, bang, you're given something in your face and then you're on to the next thing. And I kind of feel, I don't know, like, for my gaming at the moment, if I look at the games that I'm currently playing, I'm not sitting on one IP. Like, maybe I play Dota every week, but everything else is different stuff. I might be playing Elden Ring, might be playing an indie game, something else, other bits and pieces. And I wonder whether people are enjoying a variety of games rather than sticking with one ongoing live service game and smashing that out. Do you think people are consuming their gaming differently as we see a change in media?
Look, I think yes, absolutely, because you're right. I think the subscription model of things has kind of changed the landscape so much so that, you know, everything's on a tap these days. And, I mean, you know, the whole idea of YouTube shorts and Instagram fucking stories, all that kind of shit, you know, same kind of thing. But
physical copies of games as well, Cap, like you go and spend $120 on a PlayStation 5 game, you're going to want to play that game until you finish it. Whereas if you've got a $5, like you say, a subscription model, you'd be more inclined to be like, oh, I'm going to try this. I'm going to go play something else. Yeah.
Yeah. And especially when games are free to play as well, like it still perpetuates that economy, right? But I don't know. It's hard to really say. I think there's definitely a degree of that. I think economically there's obviously some big factors that are limiting the just general capabilities of teams to really execute on large projects. But I think, you know, there are examples of, you know, games that are doing really well that have done for a while. And I mean, Fortnite's probably the biggest one. You might argue that, you know, that game hasn't really changed an awful lot. You know, the backbone of it's still pretty much the same. But it does do a really good job, and there's enough stuff to keep people coming back, right? So I don't know. I think I don't really know what the fuck. I think the big issue is there's plenty of developers in that big, you know, size that are just looking to make a quick buck off of the live service games and the whole live service kind of model, which, you know, look, ultimately there's plenty of mobile developers that are doing the exact same thing. And I feel like this is like the, people are kind of coining this as like the best of both worlds, where you can capture PC players, but you can also capture maybe some of those more casualized gamers. I just don't know what the deal is, and I kind of agree with, I guess, the uncertainty of these games as a service, because realistically, no, they're not sustainable, and everyone's trying to dip their finger into the pie, and you know, I just can't see it. Something's got to give, right? Like, you know, you're oversaturating the market to the nth degree, but you know, then you've got other financial constraints that are basically forcing you to like execute the best thing that you've ever fucking made in your life. yeah. There's no chance for mediocrity here, because it's just not going to work out. So, yeah, I think, yeah, what we do have really short attention spans. We've also, like, realistically, I think the quality of the media that we consume has increased dramatically as well, like over time. And so people have very high expectations of what they're, you know, what they're consuming. So yeah, it's a bit of a sum of all things, Grizz, but I think you're right. There's definitely an attention span issue, and us as a society, that attention span, I feel like, is getting shorter and shorter. But dude, yeah, then there's also other things.
It's interesting, eh? I mean, let's talk about Call of Duty for a sec, Cap. We've talked about this a lot, but it's just reiterating on the same old shit that they do. They just regurgitate the same fucking like little procedure every time. And even things like FIFA, same thing, right? Capture those that are people that are ongoing. It's I don't know. I feel like that must be hard work. If I was a developer, it's like, okay, well, are we actually capturing these people? I can see how that would be a, I don't know, it's kind of providing a live service game ongoing like that when you've got a mold that you have to fill every time. You can't think too much outside the box. You've got to do this way. That's going to be a little bit stressful, I would imagine.
Yeah, it's interesting because FIFA and COD are kind of, I mean, they kind of exist in the game as a service category, but then also they release a new game every year and they make you pay $100 for it rather than just getting you on a platform. Yeah. You know, it's obviously it's lucrative enough for them to just continue getting, like, prying that $100 out of people's wallets every couple of years, you know. So, but then they've also managed to monetize it in a way where they can just kind of keep bleeding you dry in between those little $100 pockets. Whereas, you know, Fortnite obviously is all about the season passes and everything else. So, you know, they don't have that consistent like $100 income stream every new big release. But yeah, it's just an interesting landscape, Grizz. I don't think live service games become like, I think where live service works best is at that level where, I don't even know what the developer's name is, but that freaking Starship Troopers game that I can't think of the name of, Grizz.
Helldivers.
Helldivers, that's the one. I think that level of development, because it's like not quite AAA, but it's like adjacent, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So,
dude, imagine if you're a smaller dev team with a live service game, you would be successful. I wonder if, like, the Helldivers, are they fucking multimillionaires or what?
Well, imagine they've done a pretty well. Bloody good job. I mean, it's definitely been, like, insanely lucrative for them. They didn't expect – I mean, they were saying something – I can't remember what the exact figures were, but, you know, the reason they're having so many server issues is because, like, the demand for the game is like well and truly above what they're expecting in terms of required server slots. So they're kind of having to grapple with this issue. You know what I mean? So, I don't know, Grizz. Overall, mate, God, live service games, what a fucking schmozzle. And yeah, it's definitely biting a few developers on the ass. And do you know what? Realistically, the only way for developers to really kind of take the hint when it comes to things like poor business practice and development and design considerations is to be bitten on the ass. So if it costs a Blizzard for, you know, us to get better games overall, so be it, in my opinion. I mean, I love Blizzard to the day I die, but If they're a casualty of this pretty rough economy and poor fucking business practice, then I hope that it marks as a time that, you know, bigger companies go, fuck, well, I don't want to turn into a Blizzard, so let's just do the right thing by our players. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, it's that fine line, Cap, around providing money to your shareholders and giving the player base what they want. I almost feel like a company that's done a pretty good job live service-wise through the test of time is Path of Exile, Cap. The Grinding Gears guys have done a pretty good job at servicing that community.
They've had their controversies, but, it's been I think realistically they've, for the most part, done a reasonable job at listening to their community. I mean, you know, they still do the developer thing of thinking they know best here and there, and then they kind of, you know, touch the hot flame and recoil in fear, and then worship it again. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, we'll see what happens, Grizzly. It's going to be interesting to see what games come out in the next short term and what actually do fit under the banner of live service and are successful.
Yep. Love it.
You know,
would love to know.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, Grizz, kind of going back to the Embracer thing, but and we kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, but we had a trailer release for Kingdom Come 2 Deliverance.
Yeah. Did you play the first one, Kat?
Look, I didn't actually. No. I have a copy of it, and I've just never really gotten into it.
I think maybe no particular we slept reason. On that, Kat. You know, it's rocking a 9 out of 10 on Steam, and basically everyone's saying extremely positive things about it. If you haven't played it, it's kind of like a 2018 story-driven open-world RPG based in the Holy Roman Empire. And you kind of start out, what's the guy's name, Cap? What's his... Henry.
Henry, yeah.
Starts out as being extremely useless, and then you kind of, it's the whole... zero to hero kind of story as you
full
as
on
you
peasant moment and into a knight. But yeah, so I mean this new game looks like it borrows heavily from the first, obviously. It's set in the same time period and you follow Henry again. And it's just kind of like this, you know, fairly realism entrenched medieval RPG where you are kind of grappling with these systems to make Henry a bit of a knight and a bit of a mad dog. But yeah, I mean, it looks really bloody nice. I was kind of looking at the trailer earlier today and visually very, very, very good looking kind of game. You know, the environments and worlds are very kind of like medieval kind of, you know, serf peasantry kind of shit. But it looks quite nice. What are your kind of thoughts on it, Chris?
Cap, I actually think the trailer for this was fantastic. It they started out by showing a bunch of gameplay and story, and then they actually had the devs come on and talk about the changes in the game. And one thing that one of the guys said, Cap, was that what we are making now was what we saw this game to be in the beginning, in the first release, but we just didn't have the money or the resources to deliver on that. So it's nice to see the success of the first game drive what we believed in at the start, touting things like I think you've got two times the amount of area to explore, many different weapons, a very involved crime system that they talk a little bit about it, Kat. So if you were to go into the bar, get drunk, take your clothes off, then people might taunt you in the following days about being the guy that was drunk at the bar. And then unlike Fable, where they call you Chicken Chaser, you can actually talk back to them and argue and other bits and pieces. So apparently there's quite an in-depth dialogue / crime system in the game. Lots of work has been done into the soundtrack, Cap, and we hear some of that in the trailer as well, and it sounds awesome. They've got like an orchestra and a lot of work was done in the nature and environments aspect, a lot of animals and beautiful forests and scenery. So I actually think it looks pretty dang good, Cap, but it kind of made me wonder, did I sleep on the first one, maybe the 2018 release? And yeah, this looks pretty cool. Definitely something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, look, I definitely agree with you on all those points. I think it seems like you know, the systems and stuff that they've got in this game. It almost feels like to me like the, because I feel like a lot of the things you're talking about, and like the crime system and all that kind of stuff and morality and whatever, it feels a lot like that kind of fable approach, and it has a similar kind of ye olde kind of English fable kind of thing without the mythology and magic, I guess, because it's a bit more rooted in realism. But on top of that, yeah, it kind of it just feels like a progression from that, from Fable. Yeah. Like, and this is mm-hmm. kind of like a more realistic version of that. It. And
yeah.
Yeah, it kind of still got a little bit of that silliness and tongue in cheek, but then at the same time it's kind of moves in that direction.
The voice acting seems good, hey, Cap. Like the interactions that we see between the characters seem pretty on point.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I think the voice acting is stellar. You know, I'm quite looking forward to I think I'll definitely give this one a crack. I don't know if I'll play the first one because, yeah, I kind of wonder the same thing as you, Grizz, was like, did I sleep on this game? And, yeah. You know, I intended to play it at some point, but I just never really got around to it. But I think a lot of the issue that people had with that first game was just the clunkiness of the combat.
Is that
and
right?
So, yeah, I don't know really if I really want to go in. It's like a lot of weird precision-based kind of medieval, like, swording stuff going on, and it just kind of felt a bit like shit, apparently. So
the combat looks really pretty in-depth with this one too, Cap. You seem to be able to swing a couple of different angles and other bits and pieces, so I wonder if they've reiterated on that a bit and if it's less clunky. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not too sure. But, yeah, so, I mean, you can go and play the original and see what you think. Unfortunately, it's no longer on sale. I remember at the time of me putting these links in, it was on, like, an $8 super special. So,
ooh, bang.
But, yeah, unfortunately, that is no
now,
longer.
Cap, just one comment from the Reddit that I want to read out here. The only thing for me is a lot of the charm of the first game was that Henry was fucking useless at everything and literally had to learn his way up. From incompetent to sorta okay to great. While I enjoyed the story of the first one, the mechanics of progression from idiot to competent was what made it an immersive RPG. So I wonder whether when you're already following the story on and you don't start out as incompetent, whether it will still have the same charm as an in-depth RPG as the first one. So I find that as an interesting little concept. The story does continue on, so will you lose that kind of little bit there? I don't know.
It's always a hard one because, I mean, realistically, a sequel to a game, generally, unless you change the main characters, you're going to have to grapple with the idea of your character having already had all the experience of the first game built, especially if it's an RPG, right? The whole idea is that there's some degree of self-learning and improvement. So it's always a hard one. I never really know what I prefer, whether we just kind of have some bullshit reason as to why I've lost all my powers or whether they just go, you know, fuck it, we're just going to pretend like it's not even a thing and kind of go from there. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what they end up doing with Henry and whether they just go, okay, blank slate, or whether he is kind of just already a knight and we're just kind of following on from there, or maybe there's other systems that we're grappling with that he needs to learn. It'll be cool. Regardless, I think I'll be giving this one a crack. It looks really good, so very cool. All right, Grizz. Now, speaking of Steam sales, there's a new refund policy that recently got released. Now, it's not a huge update, but definitely one worthwhile chatting about. The big thing about this is now, I'm just going to read this directly. Today we have, this is 5 days ago, by the way. Today we have updated a portion of our refund policy regarding pre-purchased titles. The change covers titles that are in pre-purchase and offer advanced access. Playtime acquired during the advanced access period will now count towards the Steam refund period.
Ooh,
you can find out more here. Now, apparently what was happening was, you know, you'd put your game into early access. You know how you have like the pre-order now and you'll get 3 days early access kind of shit? So people were playing in those 3 days and the playtime before the game released on its standard release was not counted against the refund policy. So people could play you know, maybe even finish a game before it actually came out and then just refund it. Which is kind of rough, but also you might argue that, you know, I mean, the new policy still protects you with the same of what was there before. So I think it's like 2 hours and within 15 days of purchase, you can get a full refund under those two conditions. But yeah, I mean, realistically, this is fine. It's the same refund policy that we've had all the time. It's just making sure that the consumers aren't doing any dodgy shit.
Not abusing the system, Capo, you know? Yeah. I reckon, I wonder too, whether if this refund policy was active now, whether I was able to refund Remnant 2. Because I did have it for that pre-release period and then I played it a bit and then refunded it later down the track.
Actually, that's a good point. Maybe, maybe not. Who knows? Yeah, hard to know, I guess. It depends on how many hours you would have played. If you played over two, no, you wouldn't have been able to.
I reckon I did, dude. I reckon I probably did.
So, yeah, you got a freebie before this one got through. But, yeah, I think the only thing that I worry about this is, you know, those few days before, like, full release tend to be the most likely to be bug-infested nightmares. And so if you're spending 2 hours trying to just log into a server and that's considered, you know, playtime, then it's going to kind of suck from the consumer point of view, right? Because, I want to refund this game because I literally just can't play. I've tried so hard to get in and now I can't refund it. Obviously, you would hope that the developers would support you in you receiving a refund for a game you couldn't play or something along those lines, but you know, not always going to be the case. So, anyways, there you go. Now, Grizz, nice. We spoke about Fortnite a little bit earlier in the show tonight, and we got a little bit of news here that came out. Now, I'm going to bundle this with some other shit. Now, firstly, I saw on Twitter earlier that Fortnite was teasing maybe Taylor Swift coming to Fortnite, which is kind of wild, which aligns kind of nicely with the fact that they just released a trailer showing off that Billie Eilish was coming to Fortnite as well, which is kind of wild. I guess, you know, it's the trifecta of, you know, pop stars. I guess they already had Ariana Grande show up in there, and they're going to continue going down the line.
It's the whole idea that when they get these people in, do they do a concert cap as part of the concert thing, or what?
Well, I'm pretty sure yes, because I think the Billie Eilish skin is also usable within the game. But I think the whole thing is that you're going to want to probably have some kind of cross promotion there, and I think they've just brought out some new music, and obviously Taylor Swift's done the same. So if the tease is correct and they are actually bringing Taylor Swift, then I presume there'd be some degree of in-game music thing going on, because they've done it before, obviously. But the one thing I wanted to talk about, Grizz, I kind of just figured we may as well bundle this all together because it's all Fortnite adjacent. It looks like at one point, Epic Games were trying to talk to Nintendo about bringing Samus to Fortnite, but in the end, it turned out that they didn't. The deal didn't go through because, and I quote, "Nintendo wanted the skin to only be viewable by Switch players because they wanted to ensure that you could only basically have the skin on Switch," which is just kind of fucking just standard Nintendo shit, isn't it?
Now, digging further into this, Cap, apparently there is a Mario Kart Rocket League skin only viewable if you're playing on Switch as well.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me too much. I think, like, you know, is it Harmonix? Is that the developer? I think so.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Either way, I think they're not quite Epic tier of developer, or you know, can draw that much, you know, away. So realistically, bringing a game to your Switch console and Nintendo saying, "Yeah, you can put a Mario Kart thing in here if you just only show it on Switch," they'd be like, "Yeah, fucking no worries, cool, all right, Switch exclusive, done." Whereas Epic obviously want it to be like a unified. I mean, they've fought against Google and Apple for, I guess, like anti-competitive practices, and I would argue this is kind of fairly anti-competitive from Nintendo, so it kind of makes sense that they would have pushed back on this. But it's still pretty wild, though, Grizz. I think, you know, Samus is, like, a fairly, like, no-brainer choice for having inside Fortnite.
It'd be great. It'd be great on Fortnite, mate, Samus. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you could do the whole Mother Brain thing, and you could have those little, little sucker dudes jumping onto people's heads and doing things. So there's so many things I feel like I could do with that, and having, like Ridley running through the map or something.
Dude, they also usually introduce these like powers and stuff, but could you imagine right now they're doing one, their season is the last Airbender cap, so you can pick up all the different scrolls and they allow you to do different things. Some of them are broken, man. You can get this water scroll and you can fire water at people, but also if you get into water, you heal as well. But you could see there being like, you know this the Samus charge up fucking big projectile,
boink, cannon,
big cannon
with the missiles. Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of cool shit they could do. Even having like special little things through the map where you turn into a ball and just kind of zip through areas of the map or something.
That'd
like,
be cool.
Here's a cool shit they could have done, but alas, we won't see it, Grizz.
So, Nintendo, too protective, Capo, you know?
Too bloody protective.
They know what they want, though. At least they have a rule set, right? And they enforce that. I don't know. I guess they, like we always say, Cap. Nintendo are kind of on their own little island in terms of the way that they do shit. So, power tool.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's working for them realistically. Like, they're one of the most, richest companies in Japan. So, there's only one way you get to do that, and that's by winning. So, there you go.
Yep.
Oh, well, Grizz, tell you what, mate, got a question for you. I want to know how your gaming's been going.
Hey, dude, my gaming's been going real good. I've actually been playing a few video games, Capo. I even streamed over the weekend, trying to find that balance cap between band, family, life, and streaming, gaming, and everything else. But I feel like I'm slowly making headway there. Yeah, I've been continuing my Elden Ring playthrough in preparation
on
for
stream.
DLC. Yeah, one good stream. But I've been playing a bit on the deck as well. During my tattoo on the weekend, I was able to get a good couple of hours while in the chair playing some Elden Ring. So I have found my end game weapon cap, and it's pretty cool because I obviously the first playthrough I had cap, I was no spoilers. Spoilers deleted in the chat. So I've been able to actually follow through some of the quests and little bits and pieces that I missed the first time. The one that I did now is there's, you know, the Sumurai near the first dragon in the starting area. There's a guy with that Sumurai hat.
I can't remember what his name is, but I know the guy.
I did his one where basically you follow him through and then you help him summon some guys and you beat them. And then essentially you end up in the Great Plateau and he ends up biting off more than he can chew, and you actually find his body half dead because he has summoned, I think her name is Yelonia or something, and she has this crazy bleed weapon once you kill her as an invader. So I have that. It's like a Darth Maul pike, two-handed pike thing.
Oh, yeah. Use. Yeah, another one.
Pole blade. It does fire and bleed damage, so kind of running around with that at the moment seems pretty fun. So that, Cap, and also I've just bought, which I wanted to discuss with you, it is a Souls-like new game. It is called Another Crab's Treasure. I am going to be streaming this on twitch.tv/grizzlygaming86 sometime in the next week. It's touted as how would you explain it, Cap? It's a Souls-like, but it is animated and you are a crab, and essentially you've had your shell stolen from you, and the idea is that you go into the ocean to recover your missing shell. Now the ocean is extremely polluted, so there's like bottle caps and all this kind of plastic and other bits and pieces that other crabs are using as weapons, including yourself, and you can kind of equip different bits as your shell, which empower your moves. So that's the kind of general combat mechanic. You might find a certain shell that allows you can find like a soda bottle that allows you to blow some bubbles on someone, or there's other different bits and pieces, and kind of work your way through. So I'm really excited to jump on that and give that a whirl. Cap, it's reviewing pretty well from a very small dev team, and give it a whirl. Have you seen it, mate? Is it on your radar?
Yeah, well, I saw it pop up on Steam, and I had seen some previews of it a little while back, probably a few months ago now, and I think maybe like a trailer floating around at one of our favorite, like, Summer Games Fest or something like that. Mm. And I remember thinking, fucking hell, that is a wild concept. And, yeah, it's kind of like I don't know, it's kind of like Finding Nemo crossed with Little Mermaid crossed
exactly
with Dark Souls.
Like. Yeah, it is. That's the art style. Like, it's very cutesy kind of, yeah, Finding Nemo kind of style, isn't it?
Yeah.
Apparently it's fucking hard. Apparently the bosses are pretty tough and everything else. It's that you get iframes and you dodge rolls and other bits and pieces. And
Yeah, this is kind of crazy. It's on Xbox Game Pass, so you can grab you can download it there and give it a bit of a whirl. So I've downloaded it. I just need to find a bit of time to play it. So that's the next big one. But yeah, we'll give it a crack. But yeah, anything else on your games radar, Chris?
Look, Cap, I've got my new PC, mate. So I've actually been sinking a fair bit of time into Dota 2, especially with my new peripherals, new mouse and keyboard. Been finding it that I definitely think it's made a difference. So I'm running 165 hertz monitor at 1440p and new peripherals, and stuff just feels easier to me. And it kind of has driven me to reassess some of the stuff I do in Dota. So I've gone through a bunch of heroes and I've enabled quick casts on a bunch of spells, saving spells and other bits and pieces. And I've been thinking about doing that for ages, mate. But yeah, no, it's been really fun. I'm loving the new PC. It just looks so nice and everything runs smooth as. I don't have to dumb down the graphics. And actually, Cap, Elden Ring at max settings with ray tracing at 1440p is, my God, that game is beautiful. Very nice.
Yeah. I'm playing on my PC as well. It's just bloody stunning at maximum graphics. Yeah, it's just one of those, especially when you get into like Lyurnia and stuff like that, and you're just looking down into the valley, and it's just like, fucking hell, man. It's like a water painting. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, they did a good job.
Yeah, really fucking rad. Well, look, Grizz, I've kind of been a bit all over the shop with my gaming. I haven't been doing an awful lot of it. I had grand plans to download Fallout New Vegas after watching all of the Fallout TV series, because, I mean, dude, that TV series really inspired me to want to play Fallout. Yeah.
Fuck, that was me, like, with that League of Legends series that I watched as well. Same.
Yeah, it really got my juices flowing for a bit of Fallout.
Is New Vegas your favorite, Cap?
Yeah, I think realistically, I mean, it's the best one. I mean, I'm going to say it. It's the best one by far.
Apparently, you can mod Call of Duty. You can mod Fallout 4 to be amazing looking as well.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Fallout 4 came out with a next-gen update, which kind of broke a fucking heap of shit. So it wasn't really backwards compatible with a lot of mods that were out there floating around. And it also broke some other bits and pieces like shaders and stuff that people were using to make the game look nice. And, yeah, so it's a bit unfortunate that the big, you know, next-gen update that they released didn't have the desired effect. But, you know, c'est la vie. But yeah, look, basically the Fallout TV series is just excellent. Like, definitely worth a watch if you are a gamer. Like, I feel like this is one of those, it is in the same caliber as The Last of Us, in my opinion. Not the same kind of aesthetic or serious kind of, storyline, obviously. But it's just a very, very loving kind of, you know, handling of the IP and turning it into something that's really fucking special, and all the characters are really fucking great. And it just kind of, it gets better and better as the show goes along, and you kind of get towards the end and you're actively thinking, what the fuck is going on? Like, what are they going to do? And normally I feel like I'm one of those people that go, oh yeah, okay, this is going to happen and that's going to happen. And I don't know. I just find there's a lot of cliches in TV these days. And look, there's definitely some cliches in this TV series, but I just think they did a lot of stuff to, you know, kind of give you, as you know, what you expect from a Fallout game and I guess a Fallout story, and kind of put some stuff in there to make you guess and wonder what's going to happen and how or why. Okay. You know, there's faults in there, and you're kind of wondering what's actually happening with those faults, or you know what certain characters have to do with certain events in the TV show. And yeah, just I really enjoyed it. I really, really got a lot out of it for I don't watch an awful lot of TV these days either. So for it to hold my attention is
I haven't watched a series for years.
Yeah.
I can't remember the last one. Sometimes when I work away I do.
Yeah.
But I think the Steam Deck has kind of, you know, so easy to play games away now. So
yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, I'm kind of the same. Like, I generally, if I'm going to do anything with my after hours, I just want to do some gaming. But, you know, me and Mia have actually been watching a bit of anime and stuff recently, just going through some old favorite animes of mine, and that's been really nice. But yeah, just not an awful lot of TV series, but this one definitely scratched that itch, and, yeah, definitely worth a play. But, I mean, I watch. But what I wanted to do, you know, in light of this, because you know, it just kind of inspired me, and I kind of wanted to get the Fallout kind of vibe going. I wanted to go and listen to those old songs and all that kind of shit. And so initially I thought, I'll go and try Fallout 76 because I never really played that. And I went and played it with my mate Sleepy Scene, and man, that game sucks. It is shit. It is boring.
Did you jump in recently, Cap, to play?
I jumped in recently. I bought it for like $4 or something stupid because it was on Super Special. And it is ugly as fuck. It is disgusting. Like, it is such a gross looking game, even at maximum graphics. and it's just, there's just not much going on. Like, the first, like, maybe, you know, 3 hours or 4 hours that I played, there was just no carrots that really got me wanting to continue to learn what was going on in that world. Very, very average, in all honesty. So, in response to that, I was like, well, man, I just want to play a good Fallout game. And so I was like, well, the only good Fallout game there is, I mean, Fallout 3 is pretty good, and so is 1 and 2. But I was like, it's going to be New Vegas. So I downloaded it because, again, that was also on Super Special. I didn't have it for Steam. And then I was like, well, if I'm going to do this, like, I need to download all the cool mods and stuff. So then I started researching what mods to do, and then I was just like, oh, man, I don't have fucking time to go and install all these mods. And so I didn't, and I just ended up doing what I've been doing for the last few weeks, trying to get through the rest of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, which...
Right. Are you through that yet? You were playing Elden Ring as well, weren't you, Cap?
I'll get back to it, but I thought I'd just finish off the games I had outstanding, which was, you know, one of them was Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. So I reckon I've got about 25% of that game left to go, if not less. But, yeah, it's pretty good. I don't know what it is about the game, but I'm not as into it as I was the first one.
Elden Ring.
Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Oh, right. Yeah,
okay. I'm not really vibing on it as hard this time around. I think there's a lot of, like, I don't know, the combat system's just a little bit samey, and there's just a bit too much going on with the moves and stuff. And I feel a lot of it just comes from, I just don't like when you have an action combat style, RPG combat style, like what's going on in Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, and there's just a bit too much going on for you to think about, and you're like switching between different characters and trying to synergize shit, and but it feels clunky a lot of the time, and you feel like you can't really, like, a lot of the time it's just like, okay, well, I'll just keep auto attacking them until they fucking break, and then I'll just do my best moves, and it's just it doesn't feel super rewarding a lot of the time. So I'm sure that probably changes a little bit with difficulty, but I'm playing on this special difficulty mode called, like, auto adjust or something like that. And I was kind of hoping that it would kind of adjust to me, but it just, I don't know. There's a lot of times I'm just like,
is it harder or easier?
Well, I've not died yet, so, you know, I've not had a full team wipe, so it's not that bad. But, I don't know. It's fine. I'm kind of getting into the meat of the game where a lot of things have changed from the original timeline, so starting to find out bits and pieces like that. But, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with this game in the next, you know, for the next iteration, because I feel like they've gotten through the majority of, well, not the full majority of it. There's still a fair bit in the latter bit of the game from here onwards. but there's a lot of stuff that they've covered already that I'm kind of like, well, you haven't really left much room for, I don't know, stuff to do later. So don't know. We'll see what happens. But yeah.
And Cap, what about Baldur's Gate 3, mate? Do you think you'll ever replay that at some point?
Look, probably not until Ted's like 15 years old, I reckon. Okay. That's when me and him will have our own playthrough or something. Look, I just don't have time, realistically, to get much out of that game anymore. I did my usual of like, all right, I love this game and I'm going to do every single possible thing I can possibly do.
A very casual co-op playthrough with a couple of mates? Would you consider doing that?
Yeah, if it's hyper casual, yeah, I probably would.
You know what, dude? I actually think that co-op is easier.
Yeah, it probably is.
Because what I found playing solo is it's hard to focus on one character and the build and optimizing it and the items and everything. But if you've got each your own character, then you're already focused on that. And in combat, it gives you much more. You're only worried about what you're doing and synergies. I feel like it's a bit of an easier way to play the game.
Yeah, plus
we're
a good time to catch
through
up with
our
people.
Honor mode playthrough right now. We're nearly in Act 2, kind of working our way through.
Oh, sick. Haven't had a wipe.
No wipes yet. No wipes. And it hasn't even been close, really. It's good to know roughly what you're expecting as you play through and which dialogue options to go for. It does help a bit, so. Things do change, but yeah.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, maybe I'll get back in. Yeah. Yeah, don't discount me. You never know. You never know. Old Capo might might pull on the fucking chainmail again, you know,
nice.
And come for another swing. But yeah, look, that's basically it for all my gaming, Grizz. I haven't been back into Balatro a little while, but I haven't lost any love for that game. I'll tell you that much for free. It's just purely been a bandwidth issue. I want to get back in there and have a few rounds, but I'm kind of waiting for a moment where I don't feel like I don't not have time to be doing this right now. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm the same, Cap. I've got one more standard deck that I need to complete a run on, and then I'm into the special decks to do those. So,
yeah, I think I'm in a similar boat.
Fun game, man.
Well designed. So good, dude. I love it so much. I just I haven't really felt like playing it last like couple of weeks. Just again, just kind of wanted to really finish off Final Fantasy VII and just kind of tick that one off. Again, it kind of comes back to my whole, you know, New Year's gaming resolution of finishing some of the games that I start. So I'll finish this. I'm going to probably. I'm also tossing up whether I do go back and really finish Dragon's Dogma. I've given it a really good crack, but maybe I want to get maybe halfway through that game and then see how interested I still am, because a lot of the reviews and stuff that came out were sort of surrounding the fact that the game's got very little enemy diversity and it kind of just feels a bit shithouse because you're kind of just fighting the same old shit all the time, which, you know, a combat system that's based around kind of Shadow of the Colossus style stuff, and there's just a lot of fodder that's just the same flavor all the time. And yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens. But that's probably the next one on my radar. Have you got any games on your radar that are coming out in the next little while?
It's interesting, Cap, but I'm actually looking to think about older games that I can try to speed run. So I still have that goal of being the fastest Aussie across the most games. So the one that I'm looking at now is actually going back and trying to speedrun Hades before Hades 2 drops as a bit of a warm-up for Hades 2, but also try to get the fastest Aussie leader on the leaderboard for Hades speedruns. So have a look. In terms of stuff that's coming out, mate, not really. Nothing on the radar that's really got me hyped in the immediate future, unfortunately.
Yeah, I can't really think of anything off the top of my head. I can't even think of... I don't know anything that's come out recently apart from Another Crab's Treasure that I want to kind of give it a bit of a crack. And I mean, I can't see myself really finishing that or anything, just because I don't really have the patience.
Apparently it's only like 12 hours or something, I think, if you do it.
12 hours, okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Maybe that's a speed run right there for you, Grizz.
Dude, honestly, maybe.
Yeah. Crab percent.
Crab percent. Yeah. Got to be a crab to play that game.
Yeah, fucking yep. Love it. All right. Well, very nice, Chris. I'm glad to hear that your gaming's going well. Now we're going to dive into the next fucking area of this podcast.
Rapid Fire News, brought to you by
DJ Francesco.
It's in the freaking game, Grizzly Gaming 86. A bit of an update to the Stop Killing Video Games movement. The ESA, which is the something-something association, I think the ESA do a lot of, like, I think they work on things like games ratings and all that kind of shit. Anyways, they have said that their members, which consist of a lot of organizational video games bodies and stuff like that, have said that they are opposed to game libraries preservation to preserve online games and whatnot, which not surprised because a lot of these companies, especially these days, seem to be moving down the track of let's re-release that game as a remake or a remaster. And do very little, or let's just remaster it and do very little about the remaster. And, you know, Star Wars Battlefront, classic example of that recently where wow. The game's just kind of shit the bed because they did a very poor re-release of it. Not very surprised, Grizz. I don't know. What are your thoughts on this?
I don't know. Interesting, Capo. Not much to say. Actually, you're going to be honest, Cap, I was reading the next story.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Well, look, I think one thing I will say is, yeah, again, not too surprising with the ESA. I think the whole idea is the ESA is kind of like a trade association. So, yeah, basically they want to minimize regulation to maximize trade. So, which is exactly what this would do.
Minimize regulation to maximize trade. It makes perfect sense, mate, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Also, sounds quite dangerous.
Yep, it's the cap equation, as I like to call it.
Cap equation.
There you go.
Now, Cap, Fallout. A lot of Fallout tonight, which is great. Fallout is currently one of the biggest things in the world, thanks to Amazon's TV show. However, before all that, there was a time when Fallout, as a franchise, seems dead. Then Bethesda stepped in, bought the IP in 2007. And announced plans to make Fallout 3, reviving the post-apocalyptic series. Apparently, when this happened, there was a bunch of death threats made to the devs at the time. Former Bethesda character artist Jonah Loeb shared stories about all the planning work and details that they had, and there was a ton of information about the making of the game. Some of that included a bunch of death threats they were copying about potentially messing up those first individual games. Anything to add on this story, Capo?
Yeah, well, I think the whole idea was basically a lot of, you know, I mean, yeah, it's absolutely the first time I've ever heard of video gamers being toxic and, you know, just overreacting. But the whole change from the top-down isometric Fallout kind of RPG style into the first person slash over the shoulder FPS, you know, RPG thing basically sent some people into a fucking spiral. Next minute.
They did change it a lot though, didn't they, from that top down.
Oh, look, it was a massive change, realistically. Mm. Like, it was a big change. But, I mean, like, it's what people know Fallout for. I mean, obviously you make a change that big and it's successful. Yeah. I mean, of course it's going to kind of move into that. But, you know, this is what Fallout's known for. There's, I mean, obviously the IP was what it was and they've still retained a lot of that and even in the artwork and the theming. It's funny how some things are actually going to just be fine, guys. Just chill the fuck out for once.
Just relax, mate. Don't need the death threats.
Relax. Just fucking relax. All right, Grizz, talking about relaxing, and I'm sure Larian are doing a lot of that with the amount of fucking money they made recently. But anyways, they mentioned that they're working on what will be their best work ever, confirming that two projects are in development.
Yes.
Man, I just want a little more breadcrumbing, Larian. What am I expecting? And am I expecting Baldur's Gate 3 in space? Am I expecting fucking something just
now,
completely
unexpected?
Now, I think
they have said it's not D&D rule set, right? And it's not Baldur's Gate. I think is what they've said in previous.
I reckon
things.
That one of those two projects is probably just Divinity Original Sin 3, and I would say the other one is going to be something completely different.
Dude, I would love a non-medieval game, a space game or something, like you say, futuristic.
Yeah. You know what, Caging? You know, Caging saying in chat, it's Warhammer rule set. I would love to see these guys pick up the 40K and go hard on. I really wish that they did the Rogue Trader recent thing, or they go down the Inquisitor kind of style of I don't know, kind of just like detective crime shit in the 40K universe, and kind of go down that line of like trying to uncover cultists and heretics and shit. I just think that'd be so fucking cool. You know, the whole Eisenhorn book series. I feel like if they could just put that into an isometric top-down RPG, it would be just fucking insanely good. So yeah, I'd love to see them do something like that. But yeah, I don't know. Where else do you think they could take their game development chops outside of isometric RPGs, Chris?
I don't know, mate. Like, you hear about the devs from Subnautica making the a huge change to something completely different. I know we haven't heard of that game for a while, Cap, but who knows, mate? Maybe they are looking at something completely different. Obviously, they're very talented, so nothing would surprise me.
And I imagine they've also got an insane amount of like draw power for other developers and getting in some really good talent. You know, if they really wanted to go and make the next best fucking, I don't know, they're like, do you know what? We're going to do Call of Duty. We're going to do it properly. Like, I know they're not going to do that, but if that was their like idea for one of those projects, I'm sure that they could pull together a fucking insanely good team and just go real hard at it. So be interesting to see what they do. But yeah.
Big time, mate. Big time. Cap, Hades 2 news recently. So apparently they are getting very close to launching Hades 2 Early Access, which means the game is pretty much finished. They've announced they have a technical test, which can begin shortly. Everyone is welcome to go sign up for the technical test of Hades 2. You can go to the Steam page, and I believe there is a post somewhere on there you can do that. I have signed up for the technical test, but yeah, very exciting, mate. Sounds like Hades 2 just around the corner. Do we know an official release date for this yet, Cap, or is that not
Look,
been
I
announced?
Don't think they've given an exact date as far as I can tell. Not that I can see. It just says maybe this summer by the looks of things. So, well, that's for the early access. So, that, I mean, the technical test, that's summer for the US, which is kind of like, well, wait a second. Is that soonish? Summer would be soon, wouldn't it? Fucking who knows?
When's summer coming, mate?
Yeah, who knows, man?
Looks sick, though. Now. Yeah. Whoa.
Wait, what? Is it out now? Yeah. Wow.
Summer so, just started. Yeah.
Probably soon. So, yeah, one thing to note is that your save data will not transfer across. But it'll be interesting to see how well fleshed out, Grizz, the early access is. Because, I mean, that's probably one thing that's putting me off buying it early is just I just don't like buying these early access games that don't have the full game because I never go back and actually play them once they've actually released. So,
yeah. I think I definitely will for Hades 2. I just sunk so many hours into Hades 1. Loved it. Can't wait, mate. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I think I'm going to wait for the full release just for everything to be in there. I don't know. Some people are saying in the early access for Hades 1, they had the first biome, three weapons and limited interactions, and then in the second EA release, they had the second biome, four weapons, more characters. Third was the last weapons, more characters, and then the final fourth was the third biome, and that was basically where it sat till release. So, so, I mean, they'll probably stage it again, I imagine. But, yeah. I don't know. I think I'll be waiting, but excited.
It's interesting. They rarely have. I mean, it looks to be pretty much the same formula. I'm just watching the trailer again. You know, it is. They have just taken exactly what Hades 1 did and adopted into a new.
Dude, it makes total sense. Like it paid off dividends for them, and I think anyone who played the first one's just going to go Same game, slightly different and better.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Sign me the fuck up. So,
well, we were screaming out for DLCs for Hades 1, and obviously they just went, nah, we're going to fucking bring out Hades 2.
Good on them, man. I really support that. I think that's a really good way to go. You know, rather than split the team out, just go fucking hard on another release. So, well played. All right, Grizz. Now, Little Big Planet 3 servers, which were down temporarily, will now be kept offline indefinitely.
Oh, God. Okay.
Yeah, a bit rough. Basically, it looks like they're probably not going to come back online. Sony's kind of announced that that's it. A bit rough for games preservation because it basically meant that people didn't have a chance to go and archive these levels. They're just gone. A bit of a shame, according to some Redditors, the game servers are down, but the resource server, which contains all of the levels, is still up and running, so it hasn't been deleted yet. So all the levels that were made, because I mean the whole idea of this game was it's kind of like a level creation economy. Everyone would make their own levels and share them and all that kind of stuff. So bit of a shame and devastating for a lot of people that played this a lot. So
Bugger. Games preservation again, Cap. Come back out.
Yeah, actually, before we go on, Grizz, apparently, according to another comment here in the Reddit, that it was just hackers have fucked the servers up.
Oh, really,
And, like, Sony have just gone, well, we're probably not going to fix this. Sorry, guys. That? Costs a lot of money, and we're just not going to. So, bit rough.
Real rough. Interesting story here, Cap, but apparently LeBron James tattoo artist was trying to take NBA 2K and make a take two to court because there were some tattoos used in that video game that were very similar to the work that is on LeBron James.
I think it's pretty much almost exactly one-to-one for the most part.
Is it
but
really?
Then it kind of became a bit of an issue about, like, well, who owns the rights to LeBron's tattoos, right? Mm. So, you know, obviously 2K games have bought the likeness to be able to utilize LeBron in their video games, but then it's like, well, does LeBron own the rights to the tattoo or does the artist own the rights to the art that they've produced?
It's a bit funny, really, because you're going to want, if you've got playing LeBron James on 2K, like, you want his likeness, right? Like,
yeah.
That seems strange. Anyway, he lost that court trial. Essentially, so as in the
tattoo artist
lost the court trial.
Yeah, but I can't remember the other. There was another story where the tattoo artist actually won against whoever they were taking to court. So I think this person just decided to try it on as well.
Here we go. Hayden, who was also created tattoos for NBA stars including Shaquille O'Neal and Kyle Irving, first sued Take Two in 2017.
Yep.
For the use of his tattoos in video games. So,
yeah.
Wow. Wowzers, mate.
Yeah. Now, Grizz, Pokemon Go has launched a new avatar system that enables you to express yourself like never before and personalize your avatar with different body weights, eye colors, skin tones, new hairstyles, all kinds of shit. Basically, you can do all kinds of stuff. Anyways, it looks like people are not particularly happy with it. There's no facial hair, apparently. You basically
can't. Because only kids play Pokemon Go, Cap. Come on,
mate. Well, mate, I play Pokemon Go every day. Not really. all the proportions are just kind of fucked. And, people are complaining about the skin tones that are available as well. Mm. So apparently everyone looks like they've got tuberculosis. Not great, Niantic. Well played. Try again next time.
Sound like a good thing, but just poorly implemented.
Not quite.
Cap, Valheim lovers are getting another DLC, Ashlands. There is a trailer for it that you can watch on the YouTubes, should you wish. Cap, is this a free DLC or is this a paid DLC?
I actually don't know. I don't even know were the other ones free. I think the other ones might have been free to play from vague memory, but maybe I'm wrong.
Let me head to the Steam store and have a quick peek here.
I can't remember off the top of my head. I think they were free, but maybe you can correct me.
There is no option to buy further DLCs, so maybe they just include them. in the game.
It must just be included as like patches, but yeah, I mean, and Grizz, you know, Valheim is owned by Embracer. Coffee Stain. Continuing to get more updates. We should get back in there, Grizz.
Yeah, we should. Valheim's a great game. I enjoyed it.
It runs pretty well on the Steam Deck, dude. We could just fucking jump in bed fucking jump on a bit of Valheim. We should do that, actually. Do you want to do that?
Did you say we could jump into bed, Cap? Is that what you
said? Yeah,
hey, All right.
Shall we do that?
Let's do it. Yeah, let's do it, mate.
Let's get our Steam Decks out. Let's get our decks out.
Yeah, get our decks out. Get the decks out. Yeah, sounds good, mate. Let's do it.
Right, okay.
Absolutely.
Really keen. All right. Grizz, Take-Two Interactive, the publisher of GTA, is laying off 5% of its staff.
Fuck.
AAA's continuing to suffer.
Do we know how much 5% is, Cap? Is that like hundreds or what?
No, I didn't put the story in here because I don't think it had it in there. But, I mean, you know, Take-Two Interactive is fairly, big. I mean, it's not huge, but it's probably at least 100 staff, I would imagine.
Oh, this is very interesting, this next story, Kat. Police in Japan have arrested a 36-year-old man on suspicion of selling illegally modified Pokemon save data to customers online, a practice which was banned in the country's 2019 Unfair Competition Prevention Act. It's crazy they're coming after stuff like that. Like, when you look at like the way that Nuzlocke's and the way that you go back and you can mod those original Pokemon games and you do one death runs and everything else. But there is a lot of editing of files and save files and bits and pieces in those games, and they've taken this guy to court. Do you reckon he will be fined a lot of money for this, Cap? Is he going to get fucking cracked for this or what?
I'm not too sure. I'm not too sure what the sentence is for this. I'd imagine it probably would be a fine, maybe jail time if he can't pay the fine.
Dude, he was making money from it, I guess. So this says that he was getting rare Pokemon and selling them for up to $84 or 13,000 yen at a time via a website.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it's basically ROM hack. Remember, like, can you remember, I don't know, back in the old days, Grizz, you'd be like, oh, my dad knows a guy who, like, can mod Xboxes and, like, you go and spend, like, $100 and they, like, change the chip on your Xbox and then you go and fucking just play pirated games and shit. I feel like this is that exact same thing, but someone's been caught out and someone's actually hit, like, be like, hey, you gotta do that.
Shop fronts used to have a shop front in Perth that said that you could mod your PlayStation 2 there, just take your console in.
Yeah, no one gave a shit.
No, they did not.
But they do now. My times have changed, Grizz. The whole entire planet's going to shit. All right, Grizz. Ubisoft has responded to being called out for locking Jabba the Hutt behind a season pass in Star Wars Outlaws. They've noted that the mission is optional and you will still see Jabba the Hutt within the game. Just sounds like, you know, they've got a seasonal pass that has optional missions that include Jabba the Hutt giving you missions. So, but there's still, like, there's all these different, like, criminal organizations in the game, one of which is the Hutts. So you'll still see Jabba. Don't worry, it's okay. But you just might not see as much if you don't want to get the season pass. Okay, so fucking fork up, you absolute peasants.
Pay up, Cap. I'm a massive fan of Keanu Reeves. By the way, I just think he's
good bloke.
Every little bit of media that I see of him, he's super humble. He picks his roles carefully. He lives well below his net worth and super caring, nice dude. Anyway, enough. Talking about how amazing he is. He is joining the cast of Sonic 3, Cap, playing Shadow, which is the darker, evil Sonic. Is he evil? Actually, I can't confirm whether he's evil. Anyway,
he's got like some evil flares, but he kind of just turns out to be a nice guy.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So there you go. Keanu Reeves voice acting in the next Sonic movie. It's pretty cool.
There you fucking go, mate. All right, Grizz. Castlevania fans have uncovered a Konami code variant. Discord members discovered the variant that had been hidden for a quarter of a century. Yeah, I don't really know what the fuck it does. okay. But hang on. First drink. Discovered by Castlevania fans, blah, 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 blah. The Nudity Saver code is essential, is essentially a more complex version of the Konami code. All you need to do is double the inputs of the original code, and all the characters from Legacy of Darkness that unlock after being in the game will be made available from the start, as well as their alternate costumes and hard mode. They go on to share that they were later discovered by blah, blah, yada, yada, yada. Liquid Cat. Do we know Liquid Cat? I don't know. It sounds familiar. Anyways, pretty big discovery because Cat. this wasn't known. And is
Do
now.
You know the Konami code off the top of your head, mate, or what?
Yeah, it's up, down, left, right, BA or something like that.
Yeah, nailed it, mate.
Yeah, no, I just looked at it on the article.
Oh, did you?
Okay. Yeah. but yeah, so there you go. I'll just
kind of already talked
one.
About this cap. Last one, Billie Eilish coming to Fortnite. Yes.
Yeah, I actually updated it to Nintendo Switch will have magnetic Joy-Cons.
Oh, shit. Cool.
According to a rumor, because we'd already gone through the Billie Eilish thing. But
You don't have to like slot them down and put the right one in the right
apparently
one.
Apparently they're
going to
work off like a magnetic, not a rail system. Yeah, and so, cool. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting because the rail system kind of firms the Joy-Cons nicely against the main body of the Switch, which has the handheld kind of screen. So it's going to be interesting to see how the magnets, you know, maintain that sturdiness between the body of it and the Joy-Cons. So fuck if I know. We'll find out, eh?
Yep, we will.
But there you go. Now, Grizz, that's it.
Yes, sir.
That's the show.
We freaking did it, dude.
We freaking did it. That's it. Now, thanks so much for listening. Bloody appreciate you. If you have listened to this episode and you're still here, well, God, you must have loved the show. So you know what? Go and just tell someone about it with a review, how good you thought the show was. So
just lean across to someone right now that's next to you. If you're listening to this in podcast form, like if you're on the train, just tap someone on the shoulder and say, hey have you heard of...
I'm about to make your fucking day. Before. Yeah, as you could tell them. And you would.
You look like
you
a gamer.
Totally would.
Yep.
Exactly. So, yeah, go and do that. It'd be really, really, really great. Now, if you want to watch this show live, you can go to twitch.tv/OceanicGamingRadio on Monday night, 7 p.m. Australian Western Standard Time when we begin and record this show live. So you can join us. We have a Discord. We have a Patreon, which you can go and join and pay us a bit of cash. We have an Instagram, we have a YouTube, we have a Twitter, you know. We've got all these things that you can go and join. All you got to do is go to ogr.show and follow the links there. Real easy fucking URL, ogr.show. And not only fans yet, Caging, but I tell you what, we could be getting desperate based on all these subscription costs. So, yeah, you never know.
And the offer stands, all right?
Yeah.
If you're a new Patreon subscriber, come in and I'll give you a high five.
Digital
I'll run
high
to your
five.
House.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. That's it from us, guys. We'll see you guys in another fortnight. Keep an eye on our socials for some cool little shorts and stuff like that. And we'd really appreciate if you get around and share some of those as well. So, yeah, look, just thanks for being legends. We'll see you guys next time. Peace out.
Bye. Wow.